This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za. Power Talk with Lukwana Mlungu. Weekdays 9 a.m. to noon on Power 98.7.
Indeed, we know that there is a lot happening. 7 days from now, we will be voting in local government elections on what will be a public holiday, making it a long weekend for some people. But we do hope that people will stay put where they are registered or they return well on time before the voting stations close. And that hopefully load shedding, blackouts, as we should call them, will not deter your enthusiasm to go out and cast your votes in a week's time. But while that is also an issue, and also, of course, we have seen word from the cabinet that they are, in fact, coming up with yet another subcommittee or work stream, South Africa to set up a finance work stream to assess climate finance offers. And this is going to be chaired by the Minister of Forestry, Fisheries and the Environment, Minister Barbara Creecy. She says it will include finance specialists from the National Treasury, the Department of Public Enterprises, the Department of Forestry, Fisheries and Environment, ESCOM, and possibly others. Of course, this is within the frame of working towards just energy transition financing facility with potential funders on the sidelines of the main COP26 climate talks, being part of the people hopping up this idea of transitions away from carbon heavy to greener economies, what some people call low carbon economy. So those are things that will keep us, of course, glued into those talks, because they are very important. They have implications for ESCOM in particular as to how it can raise funds. Some of the banks now not wanting to give financing to any entity that is CO2 emissions heavy. But of course, on the other hand, we still have the City of Joburg ESCOM tango that's playing out. Hopefully tomorrow, at some point, we will get to talk to the mayor of the City of Johannesburg. For now, let's go to Pop Crew National Spokesperson. They have raised concerns about the safety of police officers. Richard, a good morning to you and welcome to Power Talk.
Good morning to you and the listeners.
Richard, no doubt, as an ordinary citizen, when I hear that police have been robbed, I then get very worried as to how safe I am. Surely the incidents down in the Western Cape at Sir Lawrence Pass's satellite police station concern you about the safety of your members, but also I'm sure you are concerned that it sends the wrong message to society as well.
No, it definitely does. You know, it's a recurring incident. There have been other incidents which have taken place in different other provinces. That is why the concern is so right, because these are incidents that are happening on a normal basis now. And what we have obviously looked into was to engage with the SAPS around these matters, and yet nothing much has been done. You know, you look into their documents about their future projections, and there has not been any discussion about attacks on police stations and police killings. So they normally happen within lesser affluent areas, because you would know that in affluent areas, police stations do have the necessary security measures, whilst within rural and township areas, police stations are basically exposed, you know. So with the other challenge has been the fact that there's been a shortage of capacity. You would find that at any police station at night, you know, you'll find that there are like only less than five colleagues working on a night shift. And of course, considering the numbers of the communities within these areas, it becomes impossible for police to be everywhere at the same time.
I suppose, Richard, let's deal also with the concept of satellite police stations. These were, you know, meant to create ease of access to services for the public, but also to increase, the footprint of police work in society. But it does seem that the satellite, offices, because, as you are saying, you know, they have lesser personnel at any given time, particularly during the night, they become easy places that can be targeted by criminals that may want to take, you know, guns, ammunition, and any other devices that police use, which can be fruitful for their enterprises in the criminal world.
In fact, the reason why there are satellite police stations, of course, is to obviously consider as to whether there will be there would be the necessary capacity to have stations in those different areas. They are normally in new settlements. But however, the attacks have not necessarily been mainly on satellite police stations, because obviously they are limited in terms of their resources. Of course, it's some platform of communicating with the bigger police stations within the area. But however, these attacks in the main have been on the actual fully-fledged police stations, wherein part of the challenges as well include this challenge of the uneven allocation of resources. So it is not necessarily something that is targeted on smaller stations, but it's actually been happening even within fully-fledged police stations.
Then, Richard, the question becomes, how do we handle this issue going forward? Because clearly, we can't have police stations being burglared into by criminals when, you know, those are the very areas where citizens should be running to when they are faced with danger, because we tend to think that the police station is safe. But this is sending a message that, in fact, we might not even be that safe at a police station.
Yes, you're correct. Police stations should become safe havens. But I think one of the things that definitely needs to be done is that we need to look into the internal challenges within the SAPS, and of course, the role that communities play. Internally, like I said, there have been challenges around the staff capacity. It has been on a decline. And again, you consider the fact that there are uneven allocation of resources. You would have a police station that has got about 5 vehicles, with only one perhaps working and the others not being serviced on time. That then means that whenever there are call-outs that needs to be attended to, police do not have that capacity. So that is quite important. And of course, I think we have seen incidents where police stations are targeted for firearms. They would perhaps have information around how many firearms are kept in that station. And of course, if there are two people working on a night shift, it then becomes easier for criminals to actually go ahead and rob them. That is what has been the sequence. We think that part of what we have obviously identified is the fact that, you know, the budget of the SAPS, most of it is utilized at provincial and national level, where there are duplication of roles. And we feel that the restructuring of the SAPS in the short-term solution would obviously ensure that you get all those generals out of air-conditioned offices and back into police stations where crime is actually happening. So that would obviously, in the short term, ensure that there's an increased number of police on the ground. However, you know, we've been facing a lot of challenges wherein there have been budget cuts, which obviously would delay some of the urgent measures that need to be implemented within police stations as well. So budget cuts are part of the problem. Again, you know, internally, police have obviously also been complaining about the fact that due to the duplication of roles at the senior levels at provincial and national offices, there's a confusion around where you get instructions and who's instructions are supposed to be abided by. So those are some of the elements that definitely need to be dealt with.
Richard, there's also been lamentation that, you know, SAPS uses private security companies to safeguard police stations. What are your views on that? Is could this be part of the problem that's creating loopholes in the system?
Look, what we would want to have is to ensure that all police stations, of course, have got the sufficient security. As to whether it's those are private or not, we know of instances where there are security guards, but also under the employ of the SAPS. The main thing is that that should obviously not only be within affluent areas, but should also cover other police stations, because seemingly, most of them have not been able to have that capacity. That is why we then find an increase in such forms of attack.
Okay. Richard, hopefully you will get some responses to SAPS and give us an indication as to, you know, what is it that they are committing to. It's quite unfortunate that you are saying you've been trying to engage them, but nothing has come to fruition as yet. Thank you for your time ever so much, Richard.
Thank you.
That's Pop Crew National Spokesperson Richard Mamabulu. If the cops are not safe, I wonder what makes us believe that we are safe. It seems like we are entering a very, very weird space as a country. Very, very weird space as a country. 21 minutes past 10, let's take a break, and we will be in conversation with the Provincial Secretary of the ANC in KwaZulu-Natal.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.